Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I may have mentioned a couple thousand times that I have a new podcast I'm doing with a very talented John Gonzalez and Ashley Nicole Moss. It is on every single day, Monday to Friday, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock in the morning out here on the left west coast. You can watch it live on YouTube like Tom does, the executive producer. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. We would love you to subscribe, to like, to tell your friends, to throw a party, to spread the word, whatever you want to do. And I tried TriHost, but Ash thought that was stupid, and so did everyone else. In fact, my boss at CBS, one of my 28 bosses, told me that TriHost, because there's three of us, he said it was the dumbest thing I'd ever said. And he kind of said it as if that is saying something. So I'm going to try this now with John Gonzalez, who joins me. My co-host joins me here on the show. Tom didn't like that either. John's not going to like it. John, do you like co-host or TriHost, or do you just want to be, you know, that guy I talk hoops with, John Gonzalez?
I'm for whatever you like. And give yourself some credit. You've said much dumber stuff than that before.
Yeah, I once told you that I thought you were going to be able to really bring some analysis on young teams, and then you just went with the standings. So you're right. Like, I've swung and missed a couple times trying to be a good teammate. Let's start there, Jonathan. You love the Thunder. You think their youth doesn't matter. Tell me why the Thunder are going to defy NBA history and be NBA champions this year.
Well, I think they're contenders this year. And that's really been the rub on our podcast, right? And I think the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we are, about 10 games left in the regular season for most teams. And the Oklahoma City Thunder have challenged the Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, all season long. Not to get too into the weeds on the numbers here, but they've been one of the best offensive and defensive teams in the league all year. They're one of only four teams to have a top 10 rating in offense and defense all year. They have an MVP candidate, a legitimate MVP candidate in SGA. I still think it's Joker. But just last night, the venerated host on Inside the NBA, Shaquille O'Neal, he picked SGA as his MVP candidate. So I think there's just like a lot of things going on for them. And yes, they are young. And yes, it has been tough for teams that are inexperienced to win NBA titles. But would not surprise me if the Thunder jump the line and do it this season. They're that good.
John Gonzalez here on the show. John, another team, and I think you mentioned this last night when CBS Sports HQ let us both do a hit together. I think it was 1 a.m. I can't remember. Super fun hanging out with you doing playoff basketball talk super, super late. There are four teams that are in the top 10 in offensive and defensive rating. That is not a guarantee, obviously. Nothing is of being an NBA champion. But over the last 25, 30 years, with a few exceptions, and they're notable ones, that has been a prerequisite in hindsight to winning the whole thing. Those teams are the Denver Nuggets. They're pretty good. They're the defending champions. The Boston Celtics, they're pretty good. The Thunder, you just mentioned. And the other one is the New Orleans Pelicans, who do not have, this year at least, a legitimate MVP-level candidate, but they do have a star in Zion. We have talked a lot about them on the podcast. Will you then take that same logic and apply it to New Orleans and say that team has a legitimate chance to make a similar run?
Slightly different, only because the Pelicans have come from farther back this season. They have had some fits and starts, but I do think they're dangerous. And you know what? I'm glad you brought them up, because all season long, or at least since December, when the Clippers really got their act together through, you know, mid-February, when the Clippers were the best team in the NBA by record, they had the best offense in the NBA, they were cruising, everything was looking good. The wheels have come off for the Clippers a little bit. Lost the last two games at home on their floor to the Sixers, who, as we all know, no Joel Embiid. Then they lose to the Pacers. both games they get run off the floor in the fourth quarter and look like an abject disaster. There are still, Bill, I'm watching basketball last night, and they're like the odds for the NBA championships on the bottom. The Clippers have the third best odds. My head almost exploded. The Pelicans are an infinitely better team than the Clippers right now, and I promise you that the Clippers don't want any part of that 4-5 matchup in the first round. The Clippers, still though, because the betting public loves the Clippers, they have a lot of stars. Yes, they could get hot with Kawhi and PG, and who knows what happens with James Harden in the postseason. I'll take the Pelicans all day long in that series.
John Gonzalez here on CBS Sports Radio, the co-host of Beyond the Arc with me and Ashley Nicole Moss. Now, today at 2 Eastern, live on YouTube, you can get it afterwards wherever you get podcasts. Just John and I will be hanging out and visiting. We'll have Avery Johnson, my buddy, a couple days from now, and it's Ash and John tomorrow, but today it's just John and I. Little preview, we're going to, I think, John, start with that crazy Lakers-Bucks game and that collapse by Milwaukee. I don't want you to give away too much of the goods, but in general, what did you make of, what takeaways, if there are any, do you extract from the Lakers storming back from that 19-point fourth-quarter deficit to stun Milwaukee in double overtime?
I love that you're bringing all this up. It's like we're doing the pre-show meeting right now. We don't even, we can just skip it. This is fantastic. I would say that from the Lakers' perspective, it was encouraging, right? Because the Lakers have been all over the map all season long, especially without LeBron James. You expect, okay, they're down 19 points in the game. They didn't have a lead until overtime. They're on the road. Again, no LeBron. That's a game where they could have quit 12 different ways or not even showed up. And instead, they come storming back and they win a double overtime thriller against the Bucks. And the reason why it's encouraging is because Anthony Davis, who's been much maligned by various people, you know, the Inside the NBA guys like to call him street clothes because in previous seasons he was in street clothes more than he was in his uniform. This season, not the case. He has been available. He's been excellent. He is a lock for first team all defense. And then last night he goes and has a monster triple-double, over 30 points, over 20 rebounds. But the key thing, though, and you and I talked about it last night on HQ, career-high 52 minutes. And he was playing the fourth quarter and overtime. Basically, he was limping around like he was on one leg. So, I mean, kudos to AD for stepping up in a huge situation.
So, John, I know that you are probably more focused on the top of the standings as an indicator of potential playoff success than I am. And I guess it's just who's right or who's wrong is year to year. But if I were to ask you to look further down the standings and take a flyer, just a team that you think, even a conference finals run, that could come out of that play-in scenario, you were forced to pick one, who would you, and to what degree would you actually think it's a possibility? Because there are some real names, one in the East for me in Miami and a bunch in the West, who at least in terms of early season expectations are languishing in a place we did not expect them.
Yeah, I think the West is a little bit different. I'm really not buying anybody below the top three to come out of the West. I think that it's still a heavy favorite of the Nuggets and OKC, and then to a lesser extent the Wolves, depending on whether or not Cat comes back. Because then once you get into that Clippers, Pelicans, Mavericks conversation, that gets a little dicey for me. The East Coast, though, the Eastern Conference, that's where I go, yeah, you're right. I mean, we saw the Heat do it last year coming out of the play-in. Everybody after the Celtics, toss them into a hat and pull one out, and it wouldn't be surprising to me if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals and then challenge the Celtics, because as we know, the Celtics, they've been very, very good over these last few seasons, but they've only made one finals and they didn't win it. So it wouldn't surprise me if they stumble a little bit again this season, even though they've been the best team in the NBA all year long. So, yeah, I'd pick out the Heat. I'd pick out probably the Knicks if they can get healthy. The Knicks have a shot. The Bucks absent what happened last night. I know that technically they're not farther down the standings. They're in second, but look, they're like, what, 12 games behind the Celtics. So everybody's pretty much farther down the standings in the Eastern Conference. But I'd give a couple of those Eastern Conference teams a shot, yeah.
John Gonzalez, co-host of Beyond the Arc podcast over at CBS Sports. John, I know we talk Bucks, but I wanted to ask you about this. Doc has made some adjustments and some changes, and his offensive just output under him has been better since the All-Star game. It has been, last night's outcome notwithstanding. But just to my eye, Lillard and Giannis don't look comfortable to me. And that happens, right? I covered that Heat team LeBron's first year, and it took at least 50 games for Wade and LeBron they liked each other, but to be comfortable and in sync together on the floor. What do you make of that Lillard-Giannis partnership now, and where do you think it'll be next year when they've had a lot more time together?
Yeah, you've brought this up before, and you're absolutely right that in the first year of stars being paired together, it doesn't tend to work out significantly well in terms of postseason success or even a championship. So I think next year will be better. This year there have been fits and starts, right? There's been times where you look at them and you go, oh, they're starting to figure it out. And then there's times where it doesn't look quite as clean. I'll give Doc his credit for coming in and deciding, oh, we have to run more pick and roll with these guys. Sometimes that looks a little messy. Last night was one of those times. Dame did not have a particularly good shooting night. And in our text message chain for our podcast, which, as you mentioned, Beyond the Arc, please listen, you had mentioned, hey, you know, this looks like a little sloppy. It doesn't look great. And also, Giannis was having a great game, and then in overtime, he kind of disappeared. There were one or two plays where he got downhill, and he looked pretty good. But for the most part, they went towards Dame. And on one hand, I go, well, that's why they brought him in, right? I mean, they brought him in for Dame time. They brought him in to be the closer. On the other hand, I go, he wasn't playing well. He certainly wasn't shooting well. He had a really bad shooting night. And, like, Giannis was performing. He had a big-time triple-double last night. So I was a little surprised that we didn't get more Giannis there. So, yeah, they are, despite the fact that we are almost in single digits here for games left, still figuring it out with those guys.
I think Dame was, what, was it 9 of 29? It was
something like that.
It was brutal. It was brutal. John Gonzalez hanging out here on the program. All right, John, last one for you. I want to dive into the Knicks a little more because I know our co-host Ashley, she's a Knicks fan. She sees it with a fan's heart. I used to laugh off Knicks optimism. We've talked about all of this on the podcast, right? 15-2 with OG Anunoby, playing really tough without him and Julius Randle. They're missing key guys. The East outside of Boston does not feel particularly healthy or dangerous for a variety of reasons. It's an if, but if the Knicks come the playoffs, have a healthy OG and a healthy Randle, and there's other guys that could be back, to what degree do you think they are good enough to be legitimate contenders to at least make and push whoever's there a team in the conference finals?
Yeah, the Knicks fans are sort of the bane of my existence, and I love Ashley, and we love working with her, but their optimism, it's so hard for me to parse, especially as a Sixers fan, where I just go, of course it's not going to work out. It never does. And it won't for you either. Last night, after the Bucks lost, she texted us something from Stephen Bondi from the Daily News saying that the Knicks were only 2.5 games out of number 2 in the East. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You have no time for this. It's not going to work out. Your guys aren't healthy yet. Now, that said, I do like the Knicks, and we have been very bullish on the Knicks when healthy. The problem is, you know, probably, according to the reports from yesterday, Mitchell Robinson might be the closest guy to coming back. And I like Mitchell Robinson, but Isaiah Hartenstein has had a really good season for them. So the key for those guys is one OG Anunoby and one A Julius Randle. And until both of those guys are back and healthy and look like themselves, because it's going to take them a second, they're not just going to come back and immediately, well, maybe OG will, but Julius Randle, I suspect because of his shoulder, is going to take them a second. Until they're back and healthy, the Knicks is a nice idea on paper. And in reality, it's going to be tougher.
All right, John Gonzalez, you and I have a pre-show meeting that'll last 30 seconds because we just did it. That's in an hour. We have a podcast at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for being on, buddy, and I'll talk to you in like 48 minutes or something.
Talk to you soon, my friend.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.